For more information, visit mmaa.org. For Minnesota Native News, I'm Deanna Standing Cloud.
So I just wanted to thank everybody for listening. This is your host, Deanna Standing. I want to thank everyone for listening in to Medicine Bundle this week. I want everyone to have a good, solid weekend and, you know, reach out to your family, sit with elders, check to see if anyone is in need of some food, and oh my God. Thank you for listening to Medicine Bundle. This is your host, Deanna Standing Cloud. I hope you have a really good weekend, and I hope you are, you know, hanging in there. And if you're not, I mean, just feel free to reach out, like connect to other relatives. This is a very important time. I know for myself, it's like, it's hard for me to ask for help, but I'm going to try to practice that a little bit more. It's been really a good time coming to the studio and just connecting with you all on this platform. And I appreciate sharing time and space and putting this my voice out into the universe. I spent a lot of time, you know, suppressing myself and feeling bad about myself and feeling guilty and feeling not worthy. And I'm getting past that now. And I would like for, you know, I'd like to help younger people get past that as well quicker than I did. Because once you get past that, you realize you were sent here by our Creator to be wonderful, to be thriving and abundant. So with that, I want to bid you all a happy weekend. And next week, we'll have another guest here in the studio. And I appreciate you guys listening every week. Have a great Friday evening. Take care of one another. And I'll catch you on the flip side. Me Gwaich.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI-FM Minneapolis-St. Paul. Online and archived at KFAI.org, the community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Halusa Nation.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Today, we got an awesome show, and we have State Representative Heather Keeler coming on in a few moments here, and then later on, Rihanna Yazzi, Director of New Native Theater. And also, we want to talk about November 6th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Again, happy Indigenous Heritage Month here, Native American Heritage Month. We're going to be seeing her play there, and we'll be talking more about that. Again, I remind everyone, too, that you have to register. It would be good if you register. There's limited seating. It's at 6 p.m. The movie is Winter Love, and she's the director writer, and she was also in it. And then next on November 23rd at 2 p.m., Indian Horse will be shown in Ajawak. The star of Indian Horse will be there. And that's Winona LaDuke's son, by the way. I don't know if you know that. And then Smoke Signals on the 29th at 2 p.m. And really firing that up. Again, sign up. Get on their website, Minneapolis Institute of Art, and sign in. Just want to remind everyone, too, we have the secret guest is Dr. Evans, who played Thomas. He's going to be there for Q&A and hanging out for some pictures and some talking afterwards and a little meet and greet before he heads back to Canada. But we're really excited to have him and be able to partner with Minneapolis Institute of Art to do these great things. I want to just quickly, before we get State Representative Heather Keeler on, I want to play a recording that was sent to me from my my city council member here in St. Paul in our district, and really proud that this person is my city council person. But again, we want to remind everyone to get the vote out. So let's take a quick listen. Ho-wa.
Hi, Robert. Good evening. My name is Sarah Jost, and I am proud to be the city council member that represents Ward 3 in St. Paul, the Highland, McAllister, Groveland, and West 7th neighborhoods. I want to remind everyone that tomorrow is Election Day. There are elections all over the country, and in Minnesota, you can find your polling place and sample ballot at mnvotes.org. So please get out and vote. Our local elections matter. Now I want to share with you how I'm voting in St. Paul this year. You know, our city government is the first and last line of defense when it comes to taking care of our neighbors. In St. Paul this year, we'll be voting for mayor, a school referendum, and a city ballot question. These choices will shape how we respond to challenges and build a more resilient, thriving city. That's why I'm ranking Melvin Carter first for mayor, voting yes on the school levy and yes on the administrative citations question. Mayor Carter has led our city through COVID-19, the murder of George Floyd, the opioid epidemic, and two tumultuous Trump administrations. He's led with empathy, courage, and commitment to our community. Thanks to his help in my ward, Highland Bridge now has found a path forward. Today, we're on track to completing hundreds of new units of housing by year's end, with more slated to come. This is a project that is vital for our city's economic future. He understands that expanding our property tax base is how we keep taxes manageable and services strong. Now we have over $1 billion of development underway across the city. He's improved our core services. The Common Sense sales tax is making massive investments in our infrastructure. We've upgraded snow removal technology and strategy, and we are seeing incredible public safety results, fewer shootings and homicides, and record clearance rates. He stood firm against federal pressure, resisting ICE cooperation and the threats to our local funding. He's advancing local gun control ordinances that our community has demanded that will be ready to take effect once the state acts. In uncertain times, we need bold and steady leadership. Melvin Carter is that leader, and I'm proud to support him for re-election. Now more than ever, we also need to support our kids. Our schools face serious budget challenges made worse by federal funding cuts. The school board has cut to the bone positions, services, closing schools, and spending its reserves. Supporting the referendum will give kids what they need to be successful. Flip your ballot over and vote yes. Finally, administrative citations gives us an enforcement tool used by every other city to hold violators accountable. Wage theft, unsafe housing, or failure to pay minimum wage. This measure ensures fair and reasonable enforcement of our ordinances. Please vote yes. You know, we're facing tough times, but I believe in our city. Our kids deserve safe, well-funded schools. Our neighbors deserve a city that upholds their values, and we deserve leadership that will guide us forward. This year, my vote in St. Paul is simple. Rank Melvin Carter first and vote yes twice. Let's keep moving forward together, and please make sure you get out and vote. Thanks so much for tuning in, and back to you, Robert.
Thank you, Sarah. And again, just we played that yesterday. I wanted to play it again today. It was pretty powerful. And today is the election, just to remind everyone, get out and vote and how important it is. I'm going to bring our friend, State Representative Heather Keeler, on right now. And Heather, welcome as always to Native Roots Radio. It's always great to have you on.
Echo what everybody's just been saying. Get out and vote. It's not too late. Check on your neighbors. Help give rides. It's just your voice is so, so important, and local elections matter. And I think one information piece that was given to me a couple years ago is, you know, sometimes you think it's too late, it's too dark, or I'm tired, you know, it doesn't really matter. But some of these elections are literally decided by 4, 5, 6, 7 people. That's like you and your neighbors getting in your car and still going to vote. And so every vote matters. Your voice is critical right now. So if you still have time to go, if you haven't yet, I encourage you to do that and call somebody to see if you can take them with.
Wow, great words as always. Hey, we got a lot to talk about, and I know we only got a couple minutes in this segment here, but you know, we talked dearly about the SNAP last week. We got you on, and you know, the federal government's playing games again, and you know, I just can't help. I just get really angry when I hear mainstream media act like this is normal and that's what happened on 60 Minutes. And, you know, I'd still say, you know, open up the Epstein files. You know, it just, it's sickening. And I'm glad you're here and we have listeners all across Turtle Island to talk about these things.
Yeah, there's like all kinds of different areas that it feels like every day there's a new big thing that's a distraction than like focusing on the thing that's right in front of us. It feels like sometimes I'm dealing with my toddler, you know, like one day you think you're on track and then all of a sudden it's this big issue over here that you have to navigate. And I think that's part of the distraction component that's happening right now, is that when your mind is just so busy always trying to keep up with the new stuff, you can't really focus on the big picture. And in my mind, every bit of this is a distraction to divide us. Because what the truth is that we're better when we're together. We're better when we care about each other, when we love each other, when we move in a good way to feed and house each other. Like, those are the very basic things that we should really be doing. And so, you know, we can get off on one topic. I mean, there's a bajillion topics, but the truth is that, you know, getting back into the ring of this together is really the strength in this. And so, yeah, there's a bajillion topics, but I hope that when we come back specifically, we can talk about, you know, the food insecurities, food sovereignty, just the work that we've been doing over years to continue to feed Minnesotans, both the kids all the way up to our elders. It's important to talk about.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Hey, we are here with State Representative Heather Keeler. Did you catch that pause? Representative Heather Keeler. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today, to the ones who...
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are with State Representative Heather Keeler here, and we are just getting started here, Heather. Really a lot going on. Election night. It'll be interesting to see what happens nationally. I think good things are going to be happening in the city of New York, and I'm really excited that there may be a referendum of what's happening nationally, and also we have local politics going on too, elections.
Yeah, election nights are always really exciting, anxiety driving, right? Like it's just, it's a lot. And then the results come in. And I saw a post today from a friend of mine who talked about like, you know, we're seeing a lot of candidates step up, and we have to remember that even after today, we have to quickly reorganize to get, you know, back in the game. We're a year out from another election that really matters. And so, you know, elections are the ongoing ability to participate in democracy, which we all know is on the line right now. And so getting out to vote today, really important. I think it'll be interesting to see what kind of trends we see locally, regionally, and across the nation. I think people realized last year, you know, elections have consequences, whether it's in your favor or not. That's how this works. But the truth is, you can get back in the game and earn some seats back. And that is also important to think about, you know, the future opportunities that we have too. And so I'll take the moment, Robert, to just sort of plug to people that are feeling like, okay, I've been standing on these bridges, I've been doing these rallies, I've been showing up, like what could I do next? And I want to challenge everybody to like really engage in some sort of campaign, whether it's on an issue, whether it's you're supporting a candidate. You know, there's always campaign managers, treasurers, PR people, like researchers. There's just a lot of roles that can be played within campaigns. Or maybe it's your time, you know, to step up school board, mayors, county commission. Like there's all kinds of roles that it's everyday people that come together to help make decisions that are best for their community. And let me tell you, like you all deserve a seat at those tables. And so just planting this like early seed, you'll hear it from us often, that really consider engaging and considering running for something. It's now is the time to start thinking about it. Get courageous. Like there's a lot of us that share our stories that this was never, we never were politically polished. We were just real life moms doing real life work that ended up stepping up for our community. So I'll end there on that little rant, but I feel like on election night, it's good to get to the polls, but also start thinking about like, how do we organize quickly for the next move?
You know, I don't like to always get personal with you, but you know, you have two sons and one of them got to vote the last cycle, I do believe, your college student son. And yeah. Now you have a younger one seeing, you know, kind of what's going on politically as normal. And it's really sad for somebody his age to see what's been happening these last 8-10 years, especially nationally, and then bleeding into local politics too, with the big MAGA movement.
And my kids are being raised in my house. They don't really see a lot of that. You know, like they see me and my friends showing up consistently. You know, I feel like no matter who's been in charge of the government, let's just be also very real, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, you know, as Indigenous people, we're always on this area of resistance and resiliency. And so it just looks different right now. It looks very different right now. But we've always been in this space, you know, and so like for my kids personally and the kids that I like to be around and engage with, I hope that what we're doing and other, you know, people who are in this work are showing what the other side of people in politics can look like. Those of us, you know, my motto has been lead with love since the very minute I decided to even do this, because that's just how I think we have to maneuver. And so, yes, yeah, see, there it is. It's true. I mean, I think that in decision-making, if we do that, you know, we just make better decisions. We make better decisions for our community, but you're right. Like the bold, the bullying, you know, the meanness is very, very alive and well. But we also have responsibilities, you know, to be good examples to the kids that are in our lives and the people who are in our community. And I think that's a big call to action that I'm giving to people in my life and in my area, is that my dad always raised me, you know, we can judge other people, but the only person we can change is ourselves. And I think right now we can be real mad at the consequences we're living in, you know, based on the last election. But we also can engage in the act of love, you know, do food drives, do diaper drives, do meals in your community. You know, I hope maybe in the next segment we can talk about some examples of what you can do in your community and some things that, you know, I'm trying to do that maybe, you know, other people can consider and think about too. But we got to lead with love in hard action right now if we're gonna really like save each other and protect each other.
Absolutely. And I really like when we do have our time together here on the radio is that we are talking about a couple things for sure. Each time is a call to action, which you're talking about, and also mental health. And those two things that you bring to the show are very, very, very important.
Yeah, I think, you know, well, mental health is, you know, our well-being. We talk also a lot about sobriety and, you know, how that plays, especially in hard times. Like, I feel like when we're in hard times, for me in my journey, it always feels like that's, you know, been those moments where I feel like I walk closer to the cliff or the side. And so leaning into laughter, you know, I know that that's kind of the other side of the medicine that, you know, in times when we could cry, we sometimes we just laugh. And so I've been seeing a lot of comedy things popping up. I know you had Johnny R on the radio, you know, promoting the event that they did in the cities. But I think in the hard, you know, for our mental health, it is important to do the things that are good for us as a person, but it's also good to engage in each other in community and laugh and create those opportunities to connect throughout the region, not just in the metro. There's a lot of rural communities that are feeling very isolated that can't always get to the big cities around them. And so also bringing some of those, you know, events out to the small communities too is really, really important right now as we heal as neighbors all across the region.
Yeah, wow, really good point. And, you know, we talk about laughter being medicine, but also you've talked a few times about how our tears are medicine too.
Yeah, that's something that Representative Kozlowski reminds me about a lot in the work. You know, also, I will never apologize for being an empath in this work. It's something that we get criticized a lot for, like people taken back that we get emotional about things in the work. But the truth is, I sort of feel like I never want to apologize for that. I think people who do this work on behalf of the people should be emotional right now. You know, if you're not emotional, you're not paying attention. And so there's times, right, that as you start to cry, you feel this urge to like wipe your tears away and kind of clean yourself up. And the truth is, like, that's our medicine and our body needs to do that. And that's just a part of this cycle of healing, this cycle of life, the cycle of reality and our empathy and our feelings. And that's good. Like, we don't need to mask that. I think society has taught us for so long that we can't sit in the sad or we have to quickly get out of that. And that's just, you know, we have to give each other permission that crying and letting tears fall is a really beautiful part of the natural medicine that we have, and creating safe enough spaces with each other that that can happen is also really beautiful. And so I have had this different approach when it comes to tears and what that means and what that means from our body and how that is actually really healing and a powerful medicine. So shout out to Rep Kozlowski on reminding us in those moments that that's so important.
Yeah, and I need the reminder too, because as a 64-year-old man, that isn't what I was taught. And I also always felt if I started crying, I would never stop. So there, you know what I mean? So there's that too, that, and it's okay never to stop. So I have to tell myself that, things like that. And it's a hard thing to do and to change, but it's definitely well worth it when I do peek into that and get there at times.
Well, and that's PTSD, CPTSD, like we're hearing a lot of that from generations. It's not even our own experience. And the other thing is, you're not alone. I think often this is that part about it, right? Like when we isolate people to think that their situation and their life is it, like that other people aren't experiencing that feeling, like you're not alone. We were all taught to just pull it together. Like, don't show your weakness. Don't show your emotions, right? Like then that's how they know how to impact you. And that's, again, that resiliency mind frame that generations before us, I believe, just had to lean into to survive, to get our generations and the next generations here. So, you know, the lateral love thing is something I've been leaning into a lot, too, and talking about that we have a lot of lateral violence, you know, just amongst Native people. And if we could just lean in with some lateral love to heal each other and see the good in each other, like intentionally, and calling each other out for the good that we're doing in our communities. I just think little things like that, you know, start this little movement of love, and that just changes the way that we communicate and live in this world. And so want to just call out the first, you know, act of love for all of you is find people in your life and go give them some compliments. Tell people you saw them work hard. Tell them that their ideas are great. Tell them their sweater is a wonderful color on them. Just give some love in the world.
I love that. And you brought that up last time we were together, and I think that needs to be brought up every time. I really appreciate that. Hey, we are here with State Representative Heather Keeler from the great state of Minnesota, and we got another segment. And then next up, we're going to have Rihanna Yazzie talking about her movie and things that she does. So it's a jam-packed show. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio.
Join KFAI for the 22nd Balkanicus Concert, Autumn Reflections.
Artsy and folky, emotional, upbeat, and irregular. And at the end of it, meet performers and fellow music lovers over a tasty Mediterranean reception. You'll hear a variety of favorite pieces from the past few decades of the Balkanicus Concert Series. Featuring music from Bulgarian, Serbian, Slovenian, and Minnesotan composers, Balkanicus will even premiere a few pieces new to America. Friday, November 7th at 7 p.m. at Saturn Auditorium at Augsburg University. Free and open to the public. All are welcome. If you have never experienced this music before, don't miss it.
Visit kfai.org/Balkan for more details.
Programming on KFAI is supported by Quit Partner. Quitting smoking or vaping is easier said than done. Quit Partner offers Minnesotans no-cost resources to quit nicotine, including patches, gum and lozenges, coaching, and digital support. More at quitpartnermn.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are with State Representative Heather Keeler from the great state of Minnesota, and we're talking, we're catching up as we always do, and talking about a lot of good things. Heather, you mentioned you wanted to bring something up in this segment. That's go for it, and that's talk it out. Ho-wah.
Yeah, I think it's the call to action, right? Like, I feel like we've been telling everybody to vote. I'll say it one more time, just in case everybody hasn't tuned in yet. Do that. That's important. Also engage, right? We talked about that, running for something, helping a campaign. But the other part is just the community engagement, community involvement. And this is when I kind of take my political hat off and just public servant side of who we are, is to take care of each other. I've been working in food sovereignty for long before I was ever elected. I worked bipartisanly to get emergency funding out the door in the middle of session a couple years ago, because after the pandemic, we saw a major spike in users to food shelves. Food shelves are different than food banks. You know, I know a lot of people want to be mindful of where they donate and they put their money. I just want to remind people that food shelves are what are in every county. Every single county in Minnesota has a food shelf, and they're required by law, if somebody comes through the door, that they have to provide 2 days worth or 6 pounds of food for free to that person. And so when times get hard and the rate of users go up, we were able to put money into that program, you know, through the governor's maneuver. But the truth is that it's time for you all to step up. And we have to do more than what we've ever done before. It's more than just going to get some peanut butters, you know, and toss it in a donation bucket. You need to get serious about asking your food shelves what they need, because what we're hearing is that some of them need freezers. Some of them need more volunteers so that they can stay open longer. The other thing is, look outside your own backyard. You know, for me out here in Moorhead, I've been traveling around to a lot of the very small rural food shelves and food pantries that are around, and they don't have the same donation communities that we do. And so, you know, we're starting some collections here in Moorhead to take out to the greater Minnesota rural communities, particularly diapers, hygiene things that, you know, don't fall under, you know, some of these areas of supports anyways, but those are the things that communities just need. And so get creative. You know, here in Moorhead, we're partnering with local businesses that are giving out a free coffee if you make your donation with them. Concordia College is going to do a concert that, you know, you get in by making a donation of food. We're doing diaper dances that you get into a dance because you donate a box of diapers and look just a little bit outside of your own backyard to see where you can help. But also it's more than just food. You know, I think instantly about the education system. So proud of the work we were able to do in Minnesota to feed our kids in schools, both breakfast and lunch. Right now, that is critical. Especially we know that 50% of the SNAP benefits are required to go out. It just doesn't know when. It could be months until they start to hit cards. And so the fact that we're going to feed kids in school is really important, but we're almost coming up into the holiday season. And so checking in and building relationships with kids is really important to me. I've been hearing for a very long time that our teachers have a hard time right now. You know, our teachers are just overloaded. This has been a hard system forever, but particularly after the pandemic. I know there's a lot of ballot questions right now around education. And so, you know, I was a substitute coordinator for a little bit in the Moorhead School District. And so my other plug is, you know, lean into your school district. They need substitutes, whether it's, you know, in the lunchroom, whether it's, you know, doing bus duty, but all the way up to paras and teachers, that these individuals are working very, very hard to help the next education or the next generation be educated. And so I'm in the process of doing like all my background check and really getting into the school district to be a substitute teacher. And I'm actually like really, really excited about that. So wanted to do a call to action, but also just sharing some real examples that it's more than just the political side of showing up, but some other ways that we can show up in our community as well.
Well, what grade are you looking to substitute?
You know, when I was a liaison, I said all the time, my two favorite groups were eighth grade boys and senior girls, because in society, they sort of get deemed like the more difficult or challenging kids. And like the auntie side of me just loves to lean on them and see like where they're at and help them grow and maybe see just potential in themselves that other people haven't. And so would really like to lean into that space, because it's also an area that a lot of substitutes don't typically want to pick up jobs for. And so give me those kids that I can build good relationships with.
Yeah. And don't forget 6-7 with the young ones, right?
Oh my gosh. Don't. I can't with you. This is no thanks.
I know. It's like our godchildren were 6-7 us, you know, and they're 11 and 8 or 11 and 7. And it's just like, oh my gosh, I got to Google this. And then, what the heck?
Do you think if we start saying it, like if the adults in the room take it over, then all of a sudden the kids don't think it's cool anymore? Like, is that the move here?
I think it is. I saw a lot of teachers, former teacher friends of mine, kind of making fun of it, where they were wearing a 7 and then somebody else was wearing the 6 in the school, in the high school. Mm-hmm. So I think you hit that on the nose, because when I do it to them, and you know me, I'm a clown. I do it to them. They just roll their eyes and I have to beg for them to do 6-7 with me, and they don't like it.
Yeah. I think it's funny because, you know, DJ plays college football, and so there is a player with that number on his jersey, and it never fails. That so, you know, all the kids like wait outside the locker room for the players after the game, you know, and they're always doing high fives, and it never fails that there's always kids that feel like that's the joke of the day. And it makes me wonder if like this player who's been in love with this number for so long is now like sort of regretting that that's his football number, or if they lean into it and it's fun. But it is everywhere.
Right. If you even get close to it, if you say 5 and then they'll jump in and say 6-7, and oh my goodness, I can't even think of what we did when I was in school that was anything that we had our own, but I think it was the music and everything. And when I was young, everyone seemed so old. That was my age, and 40s, 50s seemed really old. And we had that old don't trust anyone over 30 kind of attitude. And here I am, 64 now.
It is funny. I do remember in high school thinking like 30 was just so old, and now, I mean, I'm far past 30, right? And so I definitely don't, and I don't feel old. Like, the version that I thought we would feel like is definitely not how I'm feeling. I mean, I guess it depends, right? After, sometimes I feel old, but.
Well, we're in better shape, I think, and we don't eat as much red meat, and people quit smoking. Everybody smoked. I smoked on an airplane, Heather. I smoked at my in the hospital. I mean, we smoked everywhere. It was cool.
When I grew up, though, I remember going to, like, cafes, and they would have a row of fake plants. And it'd be like, this side is the smoking section, this side is not. And it's like, what's so magical about these plastic plants that are in the middle of our, like, your smoke is still coming over to our side. But I remember that I thought that was like the divide. And like you just sat in cars. So the, not only the smoking, but the secondhand smoke, you know, is a whole different generation of dealers too.
I know. I miss smoking on the planes because that's a little stressful, but, little ashtrays in the front, you can't even I can't even imagine now, you know. It's like recycled air, and people looked older because they smoked and drank like it was, you know, Don Draper on you know, this is like having some whiskey and take a nap.
I mean, it is feeling a little bit more trendy to be healthy. You know what I mean? That's like taking care of ourselves. What a wild idea, but like that's cool, and being mindful and what we put in our body matters, and this movement and activity, like it does feel like it feels cool to be healthy.
Hey, well, I'm hoping that you can be around. I don't know, did you see my text about smoke signals and Dr. Evans coming? I'm just like, I have met almost everyone in that movie.
Yeah, I got the text. Him. But also, don't, if you're going to put it on the air like that, make sure the text said that if I'm going to join, I got to pay for my own ticket, right? My own meal. But I'm down, because Wami is like, Wami is one of my favorite places, and I can hardly ever get in, and so I might make my schedule move around so I can join you on that one.
That would be great. And then also it'd be fun to witness the movie too. Come on down and watch the movie at 2 and do the Q&A and get selfies, and and then we're gonna sneak off to Omni. You weren't supposed to bring that up on the air, but
oh, sorry.
But we're going to some restaurant afterwards in a private table, and you're invited. Heather, not the listening audience here. But well, it would be fun. It'd be fun to hang out and do that. And again, I've never met him. And, you know, one of the things I do want to bring up about him specifically is that he is a doctor. And he's doing some crazy great things up in Canada. And I hope we can talk about that, too, because I'm going to have him on the show before he comes into town. Because we just had a really great show yesterday with a lot of native caregivers, pharmacists and doctors and people yesterday, and how we're trying to band together in a good way and get groups together so we can all talk and compare notes and help the community in a good way.
That piques my interest. I would love to hear more about it and definitely engage. I love, you know, healthcare is something, and just Indigenous focused healthcare is something that I worked on, again, for a very long time. So would love to lean into that.
Yeah, well, and Heather, well, listen to yesterday's show. Heather was on, and she's a pharmacist. And it's funny, she worked not with, but with Wendy when Wendy was at the U of M. So she's a Fairview pharmacist that's in the community and trying to do things in a good way. And it's awesome. So, yeah. Anything else? We got like a minute left, Heather.
No, engage. Do something. Be mad. That's the right thing to do, but be mad and then do something about it and do something nice for somebody in your community.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we have a minute, so you only took 5 seconds off the minute there with that.
Oh, man, I don't know. I feel like 3 segments is a lot. We don't typically do 3 segments, right?
Maybe I should pay for your dinner.
Go vote, right? That's what we've been saying. Honestly, think about something courageous, make a big step, be bold. It's the time that we have to do it. Democracy is literally on the line. if you don't show up, you can't be mad at what the outcomes are the next time.
Okay, 30 seconds, two feathers.
Oh, it's Native American Heritage Month. I'm a motivational keynote speaker that focuses on Indigenous education, healthcare, and community engagement. Always happy to look for gigs to engage, inspire, and activate.
And as you can see, she's a great speaker. It's a light lift when you're on with me, State Representative. I really, really appreciate you. And I know our listening audience does. So thanks so much.
It's always a joy. Hope you
know. Right on. Hey, up next, Rihanna Yazzi. We're awesome. It's awesome. And we'll see you next. We'll be right back after the short break.
What's up? This is Tool Man.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio, and it's a day after a blue wave, Wendy.
The blue tsunami, the blue wave, yeah. Everybody's posting pictures of a blue wave, and I was like, oh, wow, that's a nice ocean picture. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's why. So somebody put up, I want to just say this, this entire presidency, and presidency is under quotation marks. This entire presidency is like being tied to a chair and watching a toddler play with a loaded pistol. And I had to laugh and I had to write that down and I just had to say to myself, yeah, that's why what happened yesterday happened yesterday. We have a lot of good news. One of the things I want to say that I'm really impressed with, what Democratic Erica Dusso, mm-hmm, won her mayoral race in Downington, Pennsylvania,
yeah,
in Chester County last night, beating Republican challenger Richard Bryant and becoming the first state's out trans mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Like, I mean, the list goes on. It really is, like, unbelievable. Virginia House of Delegates. Democrats have flipped 13 seats in Virginia's House of Delegates, including seven Republican safe seats held by the GOP for over 40 years. People are tired. People are coming out. They're just really just mad.
I just want to respond to Jana. Get a hold of us. You said you're going to come. You're coming from San Pueblo for Native Rise, and I'd get a hold of us, and then we'd love to introduce you to Ruth Anna. And so I appreciate all the positive response that, mm-hmm, you're giving us here. So get a hold of us at AM950 Native Roots Radio @gmail.com. So that's awesome. And again, yay, Virginia, that's amazing.
Yes.
I got to say one thing too. We were watching MSNBC, mm-hmm, and you were getting your artwork ready for your art show. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a big art show. But I really liked what AOC said.
Yeah.
And I'll kind of paraphrase it, and you can probably help me, but she was asked, and I really feel like mainstream media is like all about, like, let's separate these Democrats, the progressives and non-progressives, and blah, blah, blah. And what she said was that, you know, it's great. We all have to fight fascism, and that's mm-hmm, a thing that we have to do. But also, she wouldn't win in a blue state, like Kentucky or whatever that, mm-hmm, but they have people there that will win. So it's different in every state.
Yeah.
You know, and the representation, and it's not going to be the same and the same feelings and the same things that they're going to be for, you know? And, so it's different, but the same. And I think they want to really separate the Democrats, especially, you know, what we had happen here in Minneapolis was a lot of progressive people were going up against the mayor there, and they ended up losing. And it's not about that. It's about let's get back to civil, being civil to each other and work out our differences and let people live.
Let people live. That's what I like. That's what I like. But Mom Donnie.
Yes.
I'm happy.
Yeah, wait, let
New
me get
York
this.
City.
Let me get this up here.
Yep. You know, Cuomo had like big PAC money from all these different people, like millions and millions of dollars.
Well, and
it just goes to show you.
Well, and
grassroots, man, grassroots.
This guy came from nowhere and he went to all the places that that, and I think the Democratic Party should look at this too. They went to all the places that normally you wouldn't go to, or the experts would tell you to go to, and he went to the grassroots. He talked to everybody.
Yeah, he's talked
the GLBT community. Yeah. Every you know, started right there where you know a lot of the Democrats, you know, the limousine liberals, as they say, are too stuck in their ways. And this guy, 34 years old, went to the people.
Yep.
Charismatic speaker, but went to the people, and what he's going
to
try and fix. Let's get health care there. Let's start it off. Right. You know, we love New York City.
Let's make it more affordable. Nobody can afford to live there.
I know.
It's crazy. Yeah, but his opponents, Mamdani's opponents, got $8 million from Bloomberg, $3 million from Airbnb founder, $3 million from Estee Lauder. I don't buy their cosmetics anyway because they test on animals.
Thank you.
$2 million from Bill Ackman, $1 million from DoorDash. Come on, DoorDash.
Do better.
$200,000 from Walmart heiress. Walmart's heiress. I
so what
is
that? Those are all the Walmarts that are still alive.
He didn't just beat Andrew Cuomo. He beat the elite.
Yeah. And then look at the last minute, Elon Musk, Trump, and that little Hitler guy all endorsed him the next morning. And I like what Trump said too. He goes, well, you know, they only come out to vote when I'm running.
Yeah,
and
whatever.
And it's like, no, they gave you a big, big kiss.
I know.
A big kiss after this, all these voters. A big shout out to California.
Oh, my gosh. That's so exciting. Seriously.
I know.
Well,
so they
New
didn't
York,
vote for
Virginia, New Jersey, California.
New Jersey. That was awesome.
Oh, and what else? Okay. Deep red Mississippi.
Yes.
Deep red Mississippi flipped 2 legislative seats. That was not expected.
Yeah.
So the Republicans do not have the supermajority any longer.
Yeah.
Deep Mississippi.
Veto some stuff. Yeah.
Like, you know, people are crazy. And then Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson.
Oh, come on.
Please, he comes on and he says, what happened last night was blue states and blue cities voted blue. We all saw that coming.
Oh, you did.
And then they're saying, no, sorry, Mike, but the Democrats flipped 2 statewide seats in red Georgia, flipped 2 legislative seats in red Mississippi, breaking the Republican supermajority, and ran the table in purple Virginia. But whatever you got to tell yourself, you know, whatever you have to tell yourself, you know, we've switched on Fox News last night because we have to see what the other people are watching, because we just do. And I was like, oh my God, they're like backpedaling. They're trying to tell themselves that there's a reason. You know, a reason why this happened. And it's,
well, they might have been blue states, but now they're dark blue by the amount of people.
Exactly.
And in the exit polls, the 18 year olds, the Gen Z's, have come back to the Democratic Party because they can't afford anything.
I know.
That's the whole thing. And I remember when Clinton ran for president, it's all about the economy, stupid, is what they told him. And that's. The economy is hurting everybody, Gen Z to senior citizens to people with 3 kids, and not to mention our relatives that are on SNAP. And how many of our guests that we've had on that are on weekly have said, I was on SNAP.
Yes,
that
at a
helped
time
me.
In my life where I was struggling and that support helped me. And now I am where I am today because of that help. So, yeah.
What else you got there, Wendy?
Well, I got Stephen, you know, or... Stephen Miller.
Oh, God, that's the little Nazi guy.
Nazi guy, yeah. So he responds to Zoran's Mandami's win by threatening to deport children and tear families apart. Of course, that's what he has to
do. That's your response.
So minutes after, you know, that you know, went over. So, I think that's kind of like what Ruth Ann of Buffalo is kind of saying, that, mm-hmm. you know, we have these great people who are really smart and now they're leaders and they're just going to be threatened by, you know, they're going to be all just, they're going to come at, you know, they're going to come at them. But you know what? They're going to stay strong and do the right thing.
Well, yeah. One of the things that's really happened here is just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So much every day, mm-hmm. and you know, every day we, mm-hmm. you know, there's times I didn't, you know, when Biden was president or even when Obama was president or other mm-hmm. presidents, I never even thought about the president.
I know.
Every day I'm going, what did this idiot do? And that's stressful. And that's stuff that really,
exactly.
That's stuff that really gets mm-hmm. to you deep down. Mm-hmm. It's a dark cloud over your head, yeah. and you don't realize it because it becomes every day.
Every day, it's just relentless. It really is. So, you know, Trump had a meeting this morning with senators.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and he threw some of the reporters out.
Oh.
Yeah, he really
not
did.
Not the Fox
reporters. Yeah, so according to this one reporter, he's from Punch Bowl News. It doesn't sound like it's very legitimate. But anyway, he got kicked out.
What's in the Punch Bowl?
Right, exactly.
He got kicked out.
But he said Republican senators spilled the details of the private post-breakfast meeting after ordering reporters out of the room. Trump said that the election results, which went overwhelmingly well for Democrats, proved that the ongoing government shutdown is worse for us than for them. Like, he admitted it, you know. He said that Republicans are getting killed. Mm-hmm. And if they don't nuke the filibuster, they'll end up a dead party.
Well, they do not want to get rid of the filibuster because it'll be used against them too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so in years mm-hmm. ahead. So
yeah.
That was one of the, what is it, the junior whip or out of the Senate said, the Republican. Mm-hmm. I can't remember
well,
his name.
Well, anyway, you know what? Yesterday is really giving me really
you felt
optimistic.
Good.
I really felt good. My heart was beating a little. I was like a little happy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it gives me hope for November 2026. What's going to happen? Because you know what's going to happen? There's going to be another blue wave.
Yeah.
And you know what? We're going to take over the Senate. We're going to take over the House.
Yeah.
And we're going to impeach him. And we're going to get rid of him.
Yeah.
We're going to indict him. He's going to go to jail.
And all his crew.
He's not going to have another. That's it. And you know what?
Just remember.
People have short memories,
Nixon didn't go to prison. His attorney generals did. Attorney general did. So let's get all the people around him because mm-hmm. he's not going to be around. And we can see that this is a paper tiger. Trump is only... Mm-hmm. He's the only thing that's keeping this whole MAGA thing going. He disappears.
Yeah.
And people like, you know, Marjorie and all those clowns that are going
to... Marjorie Taylor Greene finally stepped up and realized that he's an idiot.
And she wants to keep
you know
her.
What? I think she's hearing a lot from her constituents because she said to him, my constituents are screaming at me. Because they're losing their health care costs are going up. They're losing their SNAP benefits. They can't buy groceries. They're losing their federal jobs. And she's hearing it. And she's listening finally to the people instead of being cray-cray.
Hey, well, let's swing back to Native Roots Radio and do our sacred animals portion next. What do you say?
Yeah, have some fun stuff.
Everyone get ready to howl and do the grizzly bear. Like, hey, boo-boo, let's get some picnic baskets. Hey, we'll be right back. Native Roots Radio with Wendy.
Stay with us.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Bobby Wilson. Whip-cha.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hade.
Programming on KFAI is supported by Pangea World Theater's Milkweed Maps Festival of New Works, running October 23rd through November 23rd. Milkweed Maps celebrates 30 years of world building through live theater, directed by McKnight Fellow and co-founder Dipankar Mukherjee. Performances are Thursday through Sunday at Pangea World Theater in Minneapolis. More information is available at PangeaWorldTheater.org or by calling 612-203-1088.
This is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Powell.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We are with our friend Rihanna Yazzi. Great to see you, Rihanna. I'm going to see more of you here in the next couple days, but we're going to be showcasing your movie and having a Q&A this Thursday at 6 o'clock. And I'm really excited for this. And a lot of tickets have been reserved. So we got to remind everyone, you got to go to the website, Minneapolis Institute of Art, and reserve your tickets. So welcome, Rihanna.
Hey, thank you so much.
Hey, let's talk a little bit. Before we get going here, I just want to read your Wikipedia. And it says you're an enrolled member of Navajo Nation. Yazzi grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And according to her mother, she's been telling stories since she was a child. Oh, wow. Have you ever read that?
No, I haven't looked at that Wikipedia in a minute.
But it also is true here. It's you're based in the Twin Cities and you founded New Native Theater in 2009. And that's awesome. And we know you for more than that. But hey, let's talk about your movie and let's talk a little bit about what's coming up.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds great, Robert.
Well, tell us a little bit about the movie, and you're the writer and director, and you starred in it too.
That's right. That's right. So A Winter Love is a feature film I made, an independent feature film. Female Native American director, writer, producer, actor. And that'll be showing at Minneapolis Institute of Arts Thursday at 6:30. And it's been on the festival circuit for a couple of years. It did win Best Narrative Feature at the Minnesota Film Festival 2 years ago. So, I think people have a good time. It's a story. It's set in Minneapolis, and there's a lot of the Indian community that you'll see in the film. Like, for instance, it was filmed at Division of Indian Work, and some of it. So you'll see like different corners of Minneapolis. It's kind of my ode to my love for Minnesota. And but it's a story about a 35-year-old Navajo woman who falls in love with a 25-year-old Lakota Coda guy. And then the hijinks that happen with this like May, December love story.
That's awesome.
Sort of a comedy, a little poignancy. Yeah, it's everything you need in a Native film.
Well, you have a little comedy always going in what you work on. And I know, did you happen to do any more Dark Winds scripts coming up on their season?
Oh, gosh. I feel like Dark Winds is a million years ago.
I don't know why.
But A Winter Love, that's mm-hmm. my first feature. The really wonderful thing about it is you also got to also directed the film. And, you know, I think for any Native folks out there who are thinking about making movies, making film, you know, I really hope that you come see the movie. Because I think it's also just really, you know, inspiring, because I made the film with my own money. Mm-hmm. I was learning everything in the moment. Producing, how do you put that together? How do you lead a crew? And the editing process, understanding the photography and like, oh, what lenses do you use? Mm. I mean, it was just a fantastic experience in that way. And then also just because I'm a playwright, it was my first time writing a feature film script. So it was also sort of like, oh, okay. So mm-hmm. plays are really about dialogue, whereas films are really about the imagery and it was so wonderful that I got to really understand that, and I just fell in love with the medium of film.
That's amazing too. And how different, and I kind of know this answer, but when you're blocking for the camera as opposed to the audience, yeah. Can you talk a little about the difference there?
Well, so the audience is in the camera, right? So, but the camera, it can essentially, you know, a film mentor of mine, Eric Tredbar. So he's a local filmmaker. He would say, you know, the camera is like a microscope for emotion. Whenever you put the camera on a face, you know, just this very minor.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.